Please take your Bible this morning and open to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 7 and verse number 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7. Verses 7 through 11 are the text verses for this morning. And the Bible says this: "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" And we'll stop there. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity that we have to be in church this morning and to live in a free country, to be able to worship God freely and follow the dictates of Scripture as best we can. Thank you that the freedom that we have allows me to be able to deliver a message like I will do today, and we don't have to fear yet, anyway, being arrested for it or put in jail for it. Please, Lord, help us to appreciate our freedoms and our liberties, and please also help us to hear the message today that deals with the subject of prayer, and may it encourage us to be more of a prayer person than what we previously have been. Bless, please, the message today. Help me to be encouraging to all those who are here, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the last several weeks, I've been delivering some messages in a series that begins with the words, "The Bible speaks about." The messages so far have been, "The Bible speaks about itself." And the second one was, "The Bible speaks about Christian growth." And the third one, which was last week, "The Bible speaks about the home." Today I'm going to deliver a message called, "The Bible speaks about prayer." When I originally started this, I thought I would give you four messages. In the time that we've been doing this, I've thought of a couple of other topics that I want to add to the list. So just keep coming. The list will be growing as we move along, all right? But I feel that it's very important to bring you this message today. And primarily, I had this written already before yesterday's events, but I'm sure you'd agree with me, America needs prayer. In the verses that we looked at as our text this morning, we really do have, don't we, a call to prayer. You notice again these verses: "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Do you like those words? I do, because to me they're encouraging. That if I ask, God will hear. And God will answer. He'll give it to me. If I knock, it's the same idea as the asking. I knock and I'm seeking entrance into his presence and I'm looking for a blessing from him. If I ask and if I seek and if I knock, God's going to hear and God's going to respond and God's going to ask. And you notice verse 8, "For everyone." Friend, that includes you and that includes me. "For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." God is promising us that if we will ask and seek and knock, that God will hear and God will answer, give us that which we seek. And then verses 9, 10, 11 just remind us again in physical terms of some things. "Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent?" And the idea, of course, is in the human realm, if a If a son is asking of a father for a loaf of bread, he's not going to respond by giving him a stone. He's going to give him a loaf of bread. And if he's asking for something to eat, as like a fish here to eat, is he going to give him a serpent? Well, certainly not. He's going to give him a fish. He's going to give him that very thing that he asked for. And then verse 11, if ye then being evil, you know, the idea there is that if you who are human beings who are, because of sin and tainted by sin, evil and wicked individuals, and that is what we are, of course, outside of Christ, we are evil. If ye then being evil, if you know how to give good gifts unto your children, think about what it says, how much more? If you and I as human beings care for and love and have compassion toward our offspring and do our best to meet their needs, if we're willing to do that, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? I think in these verses we have a call to prayer, and I think also, and I include myself, I think that prayer is probably one of the most necessary and yet most neglected parts of our Christian life. I'm not going to ask you to do this, but I'm pretty sure that if we asked for a raise of hands in our audience this morning, how many of you believe that your prayer life needs work? I'm pretty sure that most every hand would go up, including mine. I think if we're honest, we'd have to admit that we could all use improvement in this area. Over and over and over in the Bible, God encourages us to pray. Over and over and over in the Bible, God encourages us to talk with him and bring our needs before him and ask him for things. And yet we still lack in this area. And so today I'm going to bring a message which I'm just entitling The Bible Speaks About Prayer. I have three main questions we're going to deal with. Number one, why a call to prayer? Number two, why do men not answer this call to prayer? And then number three, why should you answer the call to prayer? Pretty simple thoughts, but I hope you'll consider this topic today. And again, this text, we're going to come back to it near the end. Many of us here know the name Charles Spurgeon, a great Baptist preacher of years ago. Charles Spurgeon said that a Christian who departs for his day's work without first talking to God is like a soldier who departs for the battlefield without his weapon. Many of us start out our day forgetting to talk to God first. There are many statements similar to this that I've heard through the years, like, I don't know if it's original with him, but I remember Dr. Cederholm saying several times to us when I was in college there at Maranatha, no Bible, no breakfast. Another statement that I've heard through the years is someone, I don't know whose statement it is, but they said, I want to see the face of God before I see the face of man. Spending time with the Lord in Bible reading and prayer, and of course today we're emphasizing prayer, is something that's so necessary and so needed and yet so neglected by many of us in our life, if we're honest. And so in these verses of our text, verses 7 through 11 of chapter 7 of Matthew, we have this call to prayer. And why? Why is there a call to prayer? And why is that important? And I want to give you four reasons real quickly. By means of prayer, we check in with our heavenly headquarters. By means of prayer, we check in with our heavenly headquarters. What a shame that we would start our day without checking with heaven first. Heaven has a plan for today, for you and for me. Heaven has a plan for tomorrow, for you and me. And Tuesday and Wednesday and so forth. By means of prayer, of course, we check in with our heavenly headquarters. And that brings me to the next thought. By means of prayer, our Heavenly Father communicates his wishes to us. We check in with heavenly headquarters, and our heavenly Father communicates his wishes to us. If God has a plan for our life, and he does, wouldn't it be wise to check with him and see what he has planned for today? Wouldn't it be wise for us to check in with heaven every day and ask the heavenly Father to direct our steps each and every day? Wouldn't it be wise for each one of us to check in with heaven every morning and ask our heavenly Father to communicate his wishes to us for the day? Thirdly, by means of prayer, he gives to us instructions and responsibilities for the day. One of the things that I developed in my prayer life many years ago, maybe some of you practice this as well, but many years ago I started asking the Lord to help me to get done today everything you want me to get done today. Now, your life is probably a lot like mine. Periodically, I make myself lists, things that I need to get accomplished, okay? And I'm the kind of person, haven't always been this way, but through the years, God has helped me to develop this, where I like to do certain tasks on certain days, rather than leave it all towards the end of the week. When I was a youngster growing up at home, my dad developed some allergies to the farm, and he had to sell off a lot of the farm animals and lease out some of the land and so forth, and he went into the business world, and he was in a business at one time, first at Keekaefer Marine in Fond du Lac, but eventually at the Garber Company in Wisconsin Rapids. And when he was working with the Garber Company, they had him in sales, and so he was on the road, and he would leave on Monday and normally come back on Friday. And when he would leave on Monday, he would always leave us a list of things he wanted done that week. It was easier during the school year because you had school, but in the summertime especially, you always had a list. And a wise young man would start on Monday and do a few, and Tuesday do a few, and Wednesday do a few, and Thursday do a few, so that Friday when Dad came home, you'd have the list all completed. But this young man was not wise. I can't tell you the number of times Dad would come home on Friday or surprise us all and come home on Thursday, and my list was not completed. And there would be an accounting. I'll just put it that way. But instructions and responsibilities are something that God the Father also has for us, things that he wants us to do. As I mentioned earlier, I developed this habit years ago, and I do try to remember this every day in my prayer life. Lord, help me to get done today what you want me to get done today. I mentioned that I sometimes make lists of things that I need to get accomplished. And to be honest, there's plenty of days where I don't get all of my list accomplished. But if I'm praying in the beginning of the day, Lord, help me to get done today what you want me to get done today, at the end of the day, if I didn't finish my list, I have to be satisfied with that because I'd already asked my Heavenly Father to help me to get done what he wants me to get done today. All of us know that we can start a day with a plan in mind, but things happen beyond our control. And many times, as I was talking with my brothers recently, we don't control our schedule. Many times our schedule controls us. And things happen that come up that we didn't plan, and so our list has to take a back seat because the important thing has to get done right now. That is, again, why I started this plan of asking God every day, help me to get done today what you want me to get done today. So why this call of prayer? Well, by means of prayer, we check in with our heavenly quarters, by headquarters. By means of prayer, our Heavenly Father communicates his wishes to us. By means of prayer, he gives us instructions and responsibilities for each day. And then the fourth thing was, under this point, by means of prayer, we seek reinforcements when needed. Have you ever had a day where you need reinforcements? I have. And there are plenty of times where I have to admit to the Lord, I really need help. I need someone. I send an angel or something. And I realize, you know, sometimes it seems like, no, he doesn't do this, but sometimes it seems like the Lord might be saying, well, you know, if you've already worn out five of them this week, I don't have a spare one to send you. I've sent all the rest to Jerry Truss. But anyway, I just thought of Jerry as he's sitting there. We need reinforcements periodically. We need help because of what's going on in our life. And sometimes, let's be honest, life seems to overwhelm us like a big wave coming across and burying us and getting us to the place where we're not even sure we can go on. Lord, I need reinforcements. I need help. I need your involvement here. I need you to send some angels or some people or something to help me with this day that I'm going through. So why a call to prayer? By means of prayer, we check in with our heavenly headquarters. By means of prayer, our Heavenly Father communicates his wishes to us. By means of prayer, he gives us instructions and responsibilities for each day. By means of prayer, we seek reinforcements when needed. Now, my second question this morning is this. First was, why a call to prayer? Second, why do men not answer the call to prayer? Here's another way to put it. If most of us realize how important prayer is, yet we still neglect it, why? Remember, I'm including myself. Why do men not answer the call to prayer? A couple of thoughts, real quick. Is it because men do not like to face their sin? Have you ever talked to God in prayer, and you maybe didn't come to confess your sin, but when you're talking to God in prayer about a given subject, God all of a sudden brings something to mind that you did that was wrong? You know, people not wanting to face their sin and confront their sin is one of the reasons why people don't necessarily want to go to a church that's teaching and preaching the Bible, because they're going to feel guilt. They're going to feel conviction. And that's uncomfortable. So, do people not answer the call to prayer because they don't want to face their sin? Or is it because men feel self-sufficient and don't realize their own inadequacies? How many people in this world, even believers, how many people in this world go about their day without stopping and talking to God first? They go about their day because they think they didn't need prayer, because they think they're adequate for what they have to face. I can handle this. I've got this. Why should I have to stop and talk with God about this? It's not that difficult. It's not that hard. I can do this. Only to find out later that when we get our backs up against the wall, all of a sudden we need God. Why do men not answer the call to prayer? Is it because they do not like to face their sin? Is it because men feel self-sufficient and do not realize their own inadequacies? Is it because men do not see the great needs of others near them? And I bring this one in here because a lot of times we can't help other people like God can. In other words, they need God's help more than they need our help. We think we can, you know, bridge the gap there, but God is the only one that can fix that issue, that problem, that need that that other person has. Is it because men do not see the great needs of others near them? Or is it because men are too busy with the common tasks of everyday life? I don't have it memorized. I wish I did right now, and I wish I'd have brought it with me, because over here in the parsonage, on one of the walls, there's a poem that somebody gave me that talks about, and again, I don't have it memorized, it talks about starting the day without prayer. And how if this went wrong, that went wrong, that went wrong, that went wrong. And then later on in the poem, it talks about, today I started the day in prayer, and then this happened, and then this happened, this happened. And it's a good reminder every time I walk by it that I need to start my day with the Lord. Because when we start our day without the Lord and we start it without prayer, there are a lot of things that are going to come up that we're not ready to face. But again, friend, we use the excuse sometimes we're too busy. Huh? We use that sometimes about church. We use that sometimes about Bible reading. We use that sometimes about our prayer life. We're just too busy with the common tasks of everyday life. Pastor, you just don't understand. I've got a wife and I've got four kids and I've got this job and I've got this and I've got this and I've got this. You know, if we're too busy to pray, we're too busy. Why do men not answer this call to prayer? Is it because they do not like to face their sin? Is it because men feel self-sufficient and do not realize their own inadequacies? Is it because men do not see the great needs of others near them? Is it because men are too busy with the common tasks of everyday life? Or is it because men do not have a heart for the work of the Lord? You know, in general, in our life, we do what we think is most important. Yes. Let that sink in for a little while because it's very, very true. In general, in life, we do what we think is most important. If we think Bible reading is important, we'll do that. If we think prayer is important, we'll do that. If we think church attendance is important, we'll do that. If we think giving is important, we'll do that. Sometimes I think the real issue, and we don't want to admit this, is that we don't really have a heart for the work of the Lord or the Lord of the work as much as we like to say we do. Because, friend, anybody can talk about it. It's our actions that prove whether it's true or not. It's our actions that prove whether it's true or not. Is it because men do not have a heart for the work of the Lord? Or why men do not answer the call to prayer? Is it because men do not really believe in a prayer-hearing, prayer-answering God? I don't know about you, but these are all very convicting to me. I'm the one delivering the message, but I'm feeling deep conviction right now. If I really believe that God hears and answers prayer, then why don't I pray? Number one was why a call to prayer. Number two, why do men not answer the call to prayer? Quickly, number three, why should you answer the call to prayer? Several thoughts here. First, it is through prayer that you and I receive salvation. I think back for me in 1973 when I first asked the Lord to be my Savior. January of 1973, that began for me this walk with God. You know, that day when my dad was explaining to me the plan of salvation and we were kneeling in front of his gold-colored Lazy Boy chair, what an appropriate name. By the way, I like Lazy Boys. I am a Lazy Boy, okay? I think that's probably why I like it so much. But that day when my dad was explaining to me the plan of salvation and we were kneeling before his gold-colored Lazy Boy chair on the farm, in the farmhouse, and I prayed, I took dad at his word, I took God at his word, and I thought, as I told you I think last week, I thought, what do I have to lose? So I prayed and I asked Jesus to save me, and lo and behold, that began for me a relationship with God that I never had before. My sins were forgiven. My name forever sealed in the Lamb's Book of Life. I have salvation. I can never lose it because God keeps it. I began this walk with the Lord that's gotten sweeter and sweeter as the years have gone by, just like the songwriter said. I'm honestly, when I tell you this, I'm being as honest as I can be. I wouldn't trade it for anything. If someone gave me the opportunity to go back and undo it and live the rest of my life as an unsaved person, I would quickly say no. I wouldn't want to trade what I have for anything. I sure am glad that God hears and answers prayer like that. Lord, please forgive me. I'm a sinner. Please save me. Please take me to heaven. It is through prayer that you and I receive salvation, which means our sins are forgiven, which means we escape the torments of hell, which means we get to enjoy the blessings of heaven. I'm certain that Brother Winston, who is here, is so very thankful that his father, Ralph, prayed that prayer and asked the Lord to save him. Because it means that Ralph is not suffering anymore. He's in heaven. And he's enjoying. And he and I conversed back and forth by way of texting soon after it happened. And Winston said to me, he's skipping and leaping and jumping in heaven right now. Contrast that with the last few times he was here in church. He could barely make it to a seat. I'm so thankful for heaven. And I'm so thankful for a God that hears and answers the prayer for salvation. Friend, it is also through prayer that you and I have our sins forgiven each and every day and thereby enjoy an unbroken fellowship with God. You know, doesn't 1 John say that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? 1 John 1:9. That all comes because of prayer. It is through prayer that we receive salvation. It is through prayer that we have our sins forgiven each and every day and thereby enjoy an unbroken fellowship with God. It is through prayer that you and I receive God's guidance for important decisions that we have to make. Yesterday we had the prayer meeting for the state, you know, this four times a year, a prayer meeting for men for revival in our state. And some of the men that were there and have been, I think, every time are from Bethlehem Baptist Church in Viroqua. Bethlehem Baptist Church in Viroqua is where Matt Weber was the pastor. He resigned, and so they've been without a pastor now for several months. They're on the list of pastors, I'm sorry, of churches that need a pastor. But you know what? These men were there. Amen. At this prayer meeting. No pastor dragged them there.
Yes.
No pastor begged them to come because they have no pastor. But they believe it's important for men to get together and pray and plead with God for revival in our state. And so they were there. I admire that.
Yes.
To come without a pastor. To make that journey. It's no easy journey from Viroqua to Madison. But they came. And they've always come. They came when they had a pastor. They came since they haven't had a pastor. But here's what I'm leading up to. During that prayer meeting near the end, my brother Mike, who was leading the prayer meeting, asked if there were some specific requests that we should pray for. And one of the men from that church said, please pray for our church. And pray that God will give us a pastor. This man said, we've had some interviews, we've had some men come, but it's really hard to find, this is what he said, a man of God. Broke my heart. They want to have a man of God, someone who will come and preach to them the word of God and lead them in a godly fashion. It's not that there aren't men out there that are candidating, but to find the one that God wants for your church, to find the one that will lead you and guide you in spiritual ways, that will be faithful to the Word of God and the God of the Word, that's what he was talking about. Friend, again, it's through prayer that you receive God's guidance for important decisions that you have to make. Sarah and I prayed much about coming here. She started praying before I did. She prayed for 2 years that God would give us an opportunity to come back to Wisconsin. I prayed for 1 year, and we both, once we found out this church was looking for a pastor, prayed much about whether or not God would have us to come. And you've all heard the story before, but I honestly did feel when we came that to us, both of us, it felt like a hand just fitting into a glove. It seemed like that's exactly what the Lord wanted. When you have important decisions to make, you need to ask for God's guidance. Anybody looking for a mate needs to ask for God's guidance. Anybody looking for God's wisdom as far as a job or a home or a church to join, or anybody who's looking for God's guidance, especially in the important things of life, man, you need God's guidance. And you get that by way of prayer. Why should you answer the call to prayer? Well, it's through prayer you receive salvation. It's through prayer you have your sins forgiven each and every day and thereby enjoy unbroken fellowship with God. It's through prayer that you can receive God's guidance for important decisions. It is through prayer that you receive power for victory over evil. I don't know if you agree with me on this or not. I'm guessing you do. This world is right now captured by evil. Evil is in control in this world. How are we going to stay safe from that? How are we going to keep our kids safe from that? How are we going to keep our grandkids safe from that? It's through prayer. It's through prayer. Prayer for yourself, prayer for your kids, prayer for your grandchildren, prayer for everyone that you love and care about. They need to have God's power for victory over evil, because I guarantee you the devil is working overtime today to try to destroy families and individuals. And he's the one that's behind the evil. Why answer the call to prayer? It's through prayer that you receive power to minister to others. Several times, each and every Sunday morning especially, Wednesday nights as well, Sunday evenings as well, I'll ask the Lord to help me, to guide my words, to help me to know what to say, to give me wisdom as I'm up there delivering the message. And even as I'm delivering, I'm asking the Lord to help me and guide my thoughts and my words. I want to be able to minister God's truth to other people. I want it actually to be able to have a good and godly effect on people's lives. Only God can give you power to minister to others. You can read all the books you want. You can go to school. You can take all the classes you want. You can do all that kind of stuff that people do. But you're not going to have power to minister to others unless God answers prayer for that power. Why answer the call to prayer? Through it you receive salvation. Through it you receive forgiveness of sins each and every day, and thereby enjoy unbroken fellowship with God. Through prayer, you receive God's guidance for important decisions you have to make. Through prayer, you receive power for victory over evil. Through prayer, you receive power to minister to others. Through prayer, you also can receive provision for your daily needs. Provision for your daily needs. Have things gotten more expensive for you? They have for me. It's amazing how much things cost today. Saw something just a couple of days ago. A man posted on Facebook, I think it was, that he had a particular grocery order that he went to this store to get 4 years ago. And he took that same list and went to the grocery store recently for the same list at the same store. Cost him four times as much. Four times as much. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. All you got to do is just go out into the community and try to go to a restaurant or try to go somewhere and purchase something that you need. Everything is more expensive. Inflation is robbing our income and robbing our stability And yet our government just keeps printing money and giving money away to different places that, in my opinion, they ought to be using more of that at home. Again, just my opinion, but who's going to provide for our daily needs? It's not the government. The one providing our daily needs is the Lord. And that's why prayer is so important, because we need the Lord's help to know how to stretch what we have to meet the needs that we have. Lord, give us and provide for us and take care of us. Sometimes it comes from an unexpected source. Sometimes God gives you an extra special bargain somewhere. Sometimes God just helps what you have to stretch a little bit further. But provision for your daily needs. And then one more item I wanted to mention, why we should answer the call to prayer. It's through prayer that you and I receive protection from the devil and the forces of darkness. I don't know if you would agree with me or not, but speaking of what happened yesterday evening in Pennsylvania, I know that there's some that disagree, but in my opinion, God protected President Trump from assassination. Just a little bit to the side, and that bullet would have pierced his head. And he would be dead. It would be another JFK event. But just at the right time, there may have been a little puff of wind or burst of wind, or just at the right time he turned his head a certain way, or just at the right time something happened maybe where the gunman was. But whatever happened, I believe myself that God was watching over him. And I realize somebody might say, well, what about the person in the back that got shot and lost their life, or the others that got shot and they're in the hospital today? And I can't answer that. I don't know all of that. God is the one who's omniscient and has all of this in his care and his planning and so forth. I just believe that God intervened in that situation and protected him. I said this earlier, I'll say it again here. I don't wish that on anyone. I don't like President Biden's policies, but I wouldn't want him to get shot at. So it isn't Republican versus Democrat. It's just those things shouldn't happen. Protection from the devil and the forces of darkness. Please, friend, make no mistake about it. The devil would like to get that to happen to you. Because as long as you're living for God on this earth, you're a threat to the devil. Every time you speak up for God, you're a threat to the devil. Every time you come to church and you put some money in the offering plate to help missionaries or the work of this church go forward, you're a threat to the devil. Know that. He doesn't like you. He'd just soon get rid of you. Thank God for his protection against the devil and the forces of darkness. I will say this. I think the devil and the forces of darkness are getting more and more grip on this world and having their way more and more. But that's why we need to pray more and more. God, keep us safe. God, keep our church safe. You may or may not be aware of this, but generally, somewhere after the third hymn, we make sure the doors, front and back doors, are locked. Because we don't want someone bursting in here with a gun and we have an active shooter incident in our church building. But again, that's for your safety and your well-being, and mine as well. Pray that God will keep us safe, all of us, as we live our lives each and every day. So again, our text, and I told you I'd take you back there, and I will. Notice, if you would, Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask. All these things we've talked about today, like through prayer you receive salvation, sins forgiven, God's guidance, power for victory over evil, power to minister to others, provision for daily needs, protection from the devil and the forces of evil. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Thank God for that. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. I love the way God phrases this. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Friend, the Bible speaks a lot about prayer, not just in this passage, but many others. And my encouragement to all of us this morning, including myself, is let's be men and women who pray and who seek the Lord each and every day, several times a day, for all that we need, knowing and believing that God hears and answers our prayers. Would you stand with me, please? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking. If you can stand, please stand with me. Heavenly Father, as I close this message in prayer, please speak to hearts today. I think all of us would have to admit our prayer life could use some work. Mine sure can. I believe I pray more than I used to, but I still believe there's more work to be done and more improvement to be done. And so help us in this area, Lord. Help me in this area. Please, Lord, help us as Americans in this area. Call us to prayer. Get us on our knees. Maybe events like yesterday are meant for just that. We heard testimony of people that were at that rally, how many of them, multitudes of them, immediately fell to their knees to pray. Is this a call to prayer? Bless this invitation, Lord. Have your will to be done. In Jesus' name, amen.